Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, let's go together to the Word of God. I'm super excited that I get this opportunity. Every time Pastor Dan will give me the opportunities, I'm very, very grateful to do that. And I want you to be in two passages today. We'll look a couple of the verses, but mainly two passages today. The first passage is in Matthew 13. And the second will be in 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 4, and we'll travel through up to chapter 7, but starting in chapter 4. So Matthew 13, 1 Samuel 4. Matthew 13, 1 Samuel 4. And this is something that I want you to see together as we study together. It's going to be so interesting. Just to name it, put a name to the message today, I put it all in. And all in is a phrase that, you know, we've learned and we've seen here in our country and in the States, and usually related to some kind of bet or something we do, because we understand the value of something, then we go all in, meaning we put everything we have in order to obtain a benefit from it. And it's so interesting that we use that phrase, all in, because Jesus was probably the originator of that phrase, and we're going to see it tonight. Because Jesus saw value in certain things. And today I want us to talk about it, because I think this day and age, there's a lot of things, there's a trade, and here's a trade. The trade is, people want to give you something that has a perceived value over something that has real value. I'll explain it. People want to sell you money over family. People want to sell you work over health. People want to sell you all these things over what is a perceived value over what is real value. And the same goes in Christianity. People want to sell you whatever it may be, entertainment, and I'm not against entertainment, I love entertainment, all the other stuff for what is true value, for what is perceived value. And this is so crucial because we all do that. We all want to get something. My friend, I've always said it many times, Pastor Joe always makes fun of me because he says I'm cheap, but I'm not really cheap. I just like good things at a really, really, really cheap price if I can get them, right? Like I have the iPhone way, way back there. Like I type and then I wait and then it types on the screen. That's where I'm at, right? But it's just, I just see value in certain things, and so I invest in a different way. And it's so interesting because Jesus talks about it, and he wants us to value something. And this is the concept I want you to get at this day. It is that the presence of God has tremendous value. The presence of God has tremendous value. And a lot of people who've been in Christianity would say, absolutely, Pastor. Well, we understand that we value the presence of God, but we're going to study today something that may tweak your thinking into understanding what valuing the presence of God is all about, why you should be all in into God and not just partially in. Because when you go all in, you're trading something that seems of value for something that is real value for transformation in your life. I'll tell you an experience that I recently had. I visited Mexico on the side of Texas in a town called Reynosa, visiting a missionary that we're working with. Part of my duties here at church is to work with the missionaries that are connected to our church. And so I went to connect with this particular missionary, went with Dr. Kovernick, and so it was a treacherous trip to get there. We had issues, weather issues, delay. It was really hard. So finally, we get to bed about 4:35 in the morning. We had tons of problems, different planes, changes of planes. It was crazy, right? We get there, but we have to teach in their student, the Bible college or Bible training that they have at 11 a.m. their time, 2 hour difference. So literally we slept 3 hours. And so I get up, he gets up. And since I would say April, I've had an issue with my shoulder that is absolutely so painful. I couldn't sleep on that side. It was awful. So finally I went and got x-rays in end of May, June. The doctor says you have an issue with your AC joint and this stuff and explains it. And so I'm completely frustrated with it. It's so limiting. And, you know, she gives me some pain medication. I don't take medication. So I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to roll with it. And so I just been living with it. So we walk into this place and the students are learning from God there. There's probably about 25 students from all walks of life, from all kinds of countries being trained into the mission field. And so we sit in the back, and as soon as I sit in the back, I don't notice anything, but I'm starting to notice that my arm gets numb. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And there's such a beautiful presence of God in it. The students are learning from the Lord, and they're worshiping together. And so Dr. Kovernick teaches, and I go up to teach. And as I'm teaching, I am doing everything I was doing, but I have no pain, like zero pain. And it weirded me out. I'm like, nobody's praying for me. This is just odd. Maybe my mind is playing tricks, right? So I'm doing this thing and I'm teaching and I just have to stop. I said, guys, this is so weird. I'm trying to figure out why I don't have pain. Like, I'm trying to make it hurt. Like, I want you to hurt because that is the normal thing, has to hurt. Yeah, are you with me? Have you done that? Like, man, this is what I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to be messed up, right? And so it just went away. It just went away. And just such an amazing healing. Like, nobody prayed for me. I was just there. So I finished teaching. We do lunch. And then we go into a worship time. And it was, I'm telling you, it was a small room, probably 25 people, all students. But there was such a value into the presence of God that it surprised me. I mean, it took me by surprise. Like, wow, there's something here in this tiny room that is happening right now that is outside of the norm. And that's when my mind and my spirit was open to what God is doing, not only my heart, but when we value the connectivity with Him, there's something He starts working in us. Are you with me? And so the only thing I have left is sort of this lingering, not numbness, but you know, when you work out, you have a little soreness, but I don't have the pain. I couldn't lift the suitcase when I went on the airport. I couldn't do any of that stuff. And I was like, God, you're up to something. And then I go to Jesus and He tells us why we should value, not only because God can heal us and remove certain things from us when we least expect it, but because there's something so crucial. He starts teaching on parables, and parables are principles He does with earthly examples of what the kingdom of God is. And He teaches several one after the other. Let's look at them. Matthew 13, verse 44, He starts saying this. Again, so He is talking about the kingdom. He's mentioning some things and more things. And so He goes into another section. So He goes, again, the kingdom of heaven, the what? Kingdom of heaven. So He's talking about where God is, where the presence is. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. So he found something precious. And for joy over it, he goes and sells how much? He sells all that he has and buys the field. This guy says, man, I found something so amazing. I'm gonna go all in. I'm gonna go what? All in. So he found something so precious. He says, I'm gonna go all in. The kingdom of God is so valuable that you're not supposed to be half in. You're not supposed to be a quarter in. The idea is we are gonna make a transaction with God that I'm gonna give you my all because you are gonna give me your all. And His all is absolutely amazing. Are you with me tonight? And so Jesus saying, that's the value of the kingdom. But in today's society, people don't see that as valuable. They might see you as some, you know, dumb person because you're wasting your time at church or you're doing this or whatever. But the reality is that the trade-off is so amazing. And we have to value the presence of God, put a premium on it in everything we do, not only in the presence within church, in our group, in our families, because when we do that, something happens. And Jesus never said it's some. He said all. He continues. Next verse, verse 45. And He says, again, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And pearls are hard to find, whether you scuba dive for them or you look at them. So they're hard to find. And He says, the merchants, keep going. Verse 46. And then it says, who, when he found how many pearls? Just one. Can you imagine? Just one pearl of great price went and sold some? No, he sold all that he had and bought it. Once again, this guy says the kingdom of God is like a guy who saw value in a pearl and he went all in for the pearl because he saw the value in it. But all of those things are related to the kingdom of God. And God is saying, if you value my presence, if you value what I bring as the kingdom of heaven, you have to be all in. All in. All in. And in today's Christianity, I think we've made it a little too fluffy to follow Jesus. And I was sharing with my friend over lunch, and I said, I think there's gonna come a day here in the church overall, in America especially, there's places already people being persecuted hardcore, that we're gonna be persecuted for what we believe, and we're gonna be asked to roll it all in. And we're gonna have to understand where the value is at. And the value is in the presence of God. And I'm going to show you why tonight. We're going to learn this together. Are you with me tonight? Are you ready to take off? So, history of Israel in the book of Samuel. If you're in the 1 Samuel This is so interesting. What's going on in Israel is the word of God became very little. There was very little of the word of God being spoken. Not like you and I today. We can go on YouTube, go to different churches. There was none of that. There was no word of God. It was dry. And the reason was because the priest, the high priest and his family were absolutely corrupt. His name was Eli, and his son, I can't even pronounce the name, Hophni and Phoni and some name like that, right? And so these two guys were absolutely horrible. They were When I talk about horrible, the Bible says they were having prostitutes inside the temple. These guys were awful. They had no value of the presence of God. While the Ark of the Covenant sat here, they were doing the shenanigans right there. No respect for God whatsoever. And so the Lord called a young boy named Samuel. And this Samuel guy, as a little kid, starts learning about the value of being in the presence and hearing the voice of God. And he's awakened to it. He doesn't know yet the job he's going to get. Now, Eli, he knows. He says, hey, tell me what the Lord told you. And the Lord, and Samuel tells him, that's what the Lord says. Pretty much, hey, dude, your job is over. That's pretty much the sum of it all, right? God is handing down the pink slip. I'll get it for you in a few days. So he's like, hey, listen to the Lord. So Israel's in a terrible position. And these are three concepts I want you to get of the presence of God that we're going to draw out of here. And the first concept I want you to get is this. The number one thing is this. The presence of God is not a good look charm. Presence of God is not a good look charm. And my world, the world I kind of work in, is the Latino world, Hispanic world. And man, this is so common. This is so common. And so... We take God as something I kind of want to do when I need to solve an issue. I've heard as a pastor, I'm sure other pastors have heard this, people who would come and say, hey, I have a job interview, so I brought my tithe. Haven't done it in 50 years, but because I have a job interview, I got to pay some favor. I've heard it said. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't appreciate your giving or your sacrifice or your heart to say, hey, Lord, I've done some things wrong. I want to change. We're going to talk about that. What I'm saying is, it doesn't work that way. The presence of God is not a good luck charm. Let me slide into church, get, you know, my feet wet into the thing, and tomorrow is going to be awesome, right? And it can be awesome, and it probably will be, but it might be that you came to church today, and tomorrow is a lousy day. Right? Like that happens. That can happen. That's not God's fault. That's just life. Doesn't mean he walked away. So we cannot use the presence of God as that. And this is exactly what Israel does. Here's what Israel does. They go to war with their mortal enemies, the Philistines, right? And so their Philistines are like, hey, we're going to get you guys. They're just like, oh man, we're going to get you guys. We got your number. They go to war. 10,000 guys from Israel die. Right? And so they go back and beat up. Wait, what are we going to do? Let's send and get the Ark of the Covenant. So they're like, go bring it. It's going to be awesome. You're going to see. Now we're going to get him. Because when God is with us, it's going to be great. So the two most corrupt priests bring the Ark. Let's read it. 1 Samuel 4. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, hey, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Are you reading this? See what I'm saying? So you come to church and tomorrow's a bad day. Why has the Lord done this to me? Why has the Lord defeated us today? Come on, what's going on? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant for the Lord from Shiloh to us. And when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So they're going through the motions. This is their rabbit foot keychain, right? This is their thing that they do. I mean, Latinos do all kinds of stuff, man. I have aunties who have a piece of bread behind the door on your way out because it brings prosperity, or whatever you do. You know, you read the horoscope and you do all kinds of stuff. And say, let's not do that. Let's not deviate. Let's not mix our lives. The presence of God is a unique thing that we have to value. Are you with me? So these guys are just like, let's bring them, because when that thing shows up, we win. Right? And so verse 4, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant from the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, so they know where this stuff is, like in the holy, holy place, right? And the two sons of Eli are Hophni and Phinehas, Sounds like a cartoon character. But Hophni and Phinehas, and so we're there with the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant can only be moved by the tribe of the priests. I mean, it couldn't be moved anyone else. But these two guys are awful human beings. They're terrible. So they assume it's our job. We can move it. Let's move it. So they go on and move it, and they bring it. Now listen to this. Verse 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant from the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth, what? Are you kidding me? It was so loud that it trembled. If you keep reading, it's a lot of reading, so I'm going to chop it up for you. It says the Philistines, who was right next door to them, felt the rumbling on the ground and got scared. They were like, oh my goodness. See, here's what happens. Many times in Christianity, we don't know that the presence of God is not with us, and we keep doing it the same way. And I don't know in other circles, but I know in my Hispanic circle, oh, people put on their shout and their thing at church and glory and, you know, and everything. And they assume because they did that, that they've called upon the presence of God. And if you continue to read, Israel got a beat down with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle. And on top of that, the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. So when you decide to use the presence of God as a good luck charm, it's not going to go the way you think. And it is why we need to start respecting the presence of God. And see the presence of God as something of value and not something I do when I want it to be convenient for me. And so I wanna make this point, because the next one, it's a good one. You'll like the next one. The next one is nice. The next one's not gonna beat you up like this one beat me up. But here's what the Lord's saying. If you value me, I'm gonna do something on your behalf. And that's point number two that I want you to get today. Because to value his presence, you're going to have to do a second thing. To value his presence, you're going to have to deal with faith. And faith is required in order for us to value the presence of God, in order to understand that he wants to do something on your behalf and my behalf when we enter, when we're in it. And we've all heard the following phrases. We've all heard this. If God is for us, who can be what? Against us. That's in Romans. It's amazing. 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 near me, but they won't reach me. Psalm 91. We love that. That God is doing something. How about this one? I will be with you how long? Always. Always. Those are great promises. Now, all those promises are God saying, I'm with you. But what I'm trying to get to you tonight is that you and us, and we have to become aware and understand that he is with us. And I think this is where a lot of people miss it. Because God already gave his promise. He's with you. But many of us have lived life like Hophni and his brother Phinehas, as if God is not around. Or as if God stays in the temple, but he's not out there with me. He's not in my car or in the movies or in my private conversations or anywhere else. But he's with me. So he's saying, I want to do something with you. Here's what happened. Chapter 5. Are you still with me today? Yeah. Says chapter 5. After the Philistines have captured the Ark of God. Now this is the presence of God. Guys, today you and I enjoy a presence of God that they didn't. They didn't. That thing, the presence of God, was in that box. And that box was in a place that only one man can enter once a year to communicate with God. You and I can do that every day, any day, anytime. That's an incredible advantage. But you know what happens? This is what happens. When it becomes abundant, many times people say, I can get it anywhere I want. And it becomes this thing. And that's what I'm saying. God wants us to go back to the value of his presence. To say, man, there's something holy here. I mean, he's around. I better connect with him, respect him, enjoy him, give him my heart and my thoughts. Acknowledge him. Are you with me today? And so these guys are like, hey, look, we got the Ark of the Covenant. This is crazy what they do, right? But they're not Christians. They're Philistines. They're crazy people. So it took them from Ebenezer to Ashdod. That's where they're at. And so then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. Now, Dagon was the god of the Philistines. So imagine this show. Here's a statue. I don't know what the look looked like, right? But I'm assuming, right? So he's just all chilling right here. And so they bring the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in front of him in their temple. Watch this. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. Wow. So no one went in. They have their God and the God of God. Big G God in the same room. Little G God says, I'm out of this league. I'm out. Falls, right? He falls on his own. So then verse 4, so they go in and they put him back in his place. How many of us do that? God is trying to remove something and we find a way to resurrect this dead thing in our life. Like, let it go. Get over it. Move on. Don't go back to that. No more. No more. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face. Watch this. On the ground before the ark of the Lord, his head and his hand have been broken off and were laying on the threshold. Only his body remained. Now, when I read this, it's crazy. The presence of God was so powerful, and God is letting Dagon know, dude, you're nobody. You're nothing. It doesn't matter how much people praise you. I'm still God. Value me, put me before you, see my importance, see my power, understand what I'm doing on your behalf. And I think a lot of people nowadays miss that. And they've placed the idols before the Lord, and this Dagon fell the second time and shattered. No hands, no head, just the trunk of his body laying there before the presence of God. Now, if you don't get anything else from me tonight, I just want you to get this one phrase. If you check out already, wake up and get this one phrase, okay? If you value the presence of God, he will take care of your enemies. If you value the presence of God, he will take care of your enemies. If you put value in the presence of God, he will take care of your enemies. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what's dragging you back or down. But I'm telling you that if you make God your priority, if you put value in who he is, what he does, what he's done for you, something is going to turn around in your life, because that's the God we serve. Something is going to fall at his feet. And so we have to see God as an all-in God. As an all-in God. Let me tell you, I did not go to Mexico looking to get healed. I had no plans for that. I had no plans for anybody to pray for me. I just learned to live with my enemy. How many of us have learned to live with our enemy? We just kind of tolerate it. It's just something that's there. Something that sometimes we bring it into the presence of God, and it feels good because we're in the presence of God, and then we pick it back up. And God is saying, let it drop. Next time, when the head breaks, just don't put it back together. Don't find duct tape. Don't do any of that stuff. Just let it go. And so I went with what I perceived my enemy, a frustration in my body, because I want to feel healthy and strong. And so I couldn't defeat these things and other things in my life that we can all bring before the Lord. And I just realized, if I put value in his presence, if I see him as important, God starts removing all these things in your life. Instead of you fighting it alone or think you're at it alone, he's saying, if you value me, I'm going to take care of that. I got plans for that. Let me tell you something, people. God doesn't need our help. He didn't need it there. He didn't need it there. He doesn't need our help. But he wants our cooperation so he can demonstrate his power in you, in your family, in your children, in everything he does. And it's so important for us to be all in. Number 3. So God's presence is not a lucky charm. It's not something you do, but it's something you have to value. You have to value his presence with faith. And the way you enter in and begin that is you value his presence with repentance. You value his presence with repentance. And repentance, I think, in our society is seen as a bad word. As a, oh my gosh, I have to say sorry, but I don't feel sorry because I don't feel it, therefore I'm not sorry. But the reality is, the literal translation of the word repentance in the Word of God is just a change of direction. A change of direction. And you've heard that from many of our pastors before. So all God is saying is change your direction. If you're heading one way, stop heading that way and change your direction, because that way is not producing in you what God wants for you. Are you with me? And so it's very important for us to see that. That repentance is, there's a sorrow that comes with it, but it is a change. It is a change of direction in the way I see things, in the way I behave, in the way I understand them. And so God wants us to do that, for us to enter into his presence. The word of God says, come with gratefulness, comes with joy before his presence. But in order to enter that and connect with that, we have to be willing to repent and turn. And this is what happened with the children of Israel. And as you read chapter 6, crazy stuff happens. The Philistines can't handle it, so they send them over to another town. And the Lord says, if you send me over to that town, all those people are going to get sick. 10,000 people got tumors when the presence of God arose, because it doesn't belong to them. So the guy's like, hey man, let's find a way to get rid of this stuff. They're looking around how to get rid of it. Finally, Samuel is installed as the main priest, as the high priest and prophet, as the prophet of Israel. And so he comes and he says, okay, I'm gonna figure out. So he starts doing something to bring back the presence of God into the Israelites. Then this is what happens. Samuel chapter 7, you're there. 1 Samuel chapter 7, look at this. It says, so Samuel said to all the Israel, to how many Israelites? All. So once again, all in. There's no substitution. There's nobody that gets a pass in this process. From the most famous pastor you know to the new conversion from today, no one gets a pass. It's an all-in process. It's an all-in process. Jesus didn't die half. The arm of Jesus just got beat up. Only the head of Jesus, all of Jesus died, and all of Jesus suffered, and all of Jesus resurrected. And so we get all. So this is so powerful. He says, this is what you got to do. And when I was learning English, English is my second language. And when I was learning English, I remember one time in school, a teacher said, we're going to learn today from the English language the term if and then. Oh, okay, cool. If and then. So the idea is that this little word named if is going to give you a statement that can only be obtained by the following expression, which is then. And so here's what happened. Here's what the Lord says. If you, Pastor Jim has always taught us that is the biggest two-letter word, the word of God. If you are returning to the Lord with what? I love Samuel. See, because Samuel knows that people, not here, not at the Rock, not at this church, but people in Israel, they like to play the game. Right? So he's like, hey, if you decide to do it with all your heart. He could have said, if you decide just to show up, it'll be good. He could have said, if you decide just to, you know, send us something, we'll acknowledge you. If you decide to just let somebody know that you're okay with the plan, it's going to be fine. If you decide that you're going to return back to the Lord with all your heart, if you're going to roll the chips to the center of the table, it's got to be all in. Good. It's got to be all in. I shouldn't do a gambling reference while I'm preaching the word of God, but you know what I mean. It says, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Asheroth, and we can explain all that. There's a bunch of stuff around that. And commit yourself to the Lord and serve him what? Only, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the if and then statement is, if you're truly about this, if you're full, if you're going to give it all your heart, then get rid of all this stuff. Then truly honor me. Then truly make me the center of your life. And you know, it's one of those things where we can talk about it, and I know there's grace, and there's, God is not looking for perfection, but God is looking for an inclination that we are serious about being all in for him. Yeah. Even when we fall, even when we mess up, even when we didn't do it right, even when we're nasty to our kids one day or didn't get along with our wives a particular day, God wants to know, if your heart is all in, I can deal with that. I can help you with that. But if we're going to say, that's just my God, that's just who I am, and so I'm going to enter the presence of God and remain the same, you're going to fall on your face like Dagon did. Because when we value him, we go all in. Say, this is your gig, Lord. I want what you want. I want to be transformed the way you want to transform me. Verse number 4, so the Israel put away, I love that, they took action, put away of the Baals and all the Asherah and serve the Lord only. And that's the story of the children of Israel all throughout the Bible. They get good, they do things good, things get good, they get money in their pockets, their 401k goes up, the cows are doing great, and forget God. Like, yeah, we're doing good, and then things go bad, and then, oh my God, Lord, help us out, you know. My 401k is at 201b now, whatever, you know. And so that's the process. So God is saying, hey, make it a firm commitment, stay with it. And so in chapter 7, verse 4, it says they got rid of all that. And then Samuel brings the presence of God once again, because that's what he wants to do. Verse 10 in the NIV says the following. Verse 10 says, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, Samuel said, you guys are true repentant? Let's go to God. The Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. So their enemies are coming back. Their thoughts, their idea, that ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend, that habit, all those things are coming back. But when you're in the presence of God, I want you to see what happens. Drew for battle, but that day, what day? That day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines. Notice that it wasn't the people yelling. Back in chapter 5, chapter 4. It says, the Lord is the one now making the ruckus. It says, that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. What an amazing thing. And that is exactly what the Lord will do. Because remember, if you value his presence, he'll take care of your enemies. He'll take care of your enemies. He'll take care of doing absolutely those things. And that is a principle I've learned in my life and I've applied in my life. When things are not going the way I believe, when there's an injustice against me, I believe that if I value him, he's going to figure it out on my behalf. And he has so many times. And he will do the same for you. He will do the same for you. So here's the question. What is your enemy today? What is the thing today that's holding you back in your walk with the Lord? What is your enemy? Is it your social status? Is it people's opinion? Is it an addiction? Is it a relationship? Is it your past? Whatever it is, it cannot stand in the presence of God. Whatever it is, it will not stand in the presence of God. And so whatever things you're wrestling in life, God wants to give you a promise. And I want you to write this psalm down. If you have, if you're taking notes, now you can watch the video again. But God gave me this, and it's something I have to remind myself. Psalm 31:20 in the New Living Translation. This is what it says. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Is somebody lying about you? Then go to his presence. Somebody trying to harm you? Then go to his presence. Is there something coming at you? Go to his presence. Go all in. Go all in. Say, God, I've tried to solve this thing, but this is not. I'm going all in. I am humbly submitting my situation to you. And let me tell you, if you value him, he's going to take care of that issue. He's going to work on that issue on your behalf. He's going to do something amazing. I've seen him do it in mine. He's going to do it in yours. But you have to value his presence. Because anyone in the Word of God that ever value his presence absolutely obtain everything God promised the way he promised it. And this is so powerful for us to understand. And I'll end going back to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, when the kingdom of God came to you, it was something so precious that these people sold everything they had in order to purchase the kingdom of God. And tonight, God is saying, if you're all in, I'm going to take care of everything else. God spoke to you. Give him a hand tonight. This is his word.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.